back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I'm 742. I haven't put on my cosmetics, my makeup yet. I got my Genucel here. You're getting up early. You may need some of this stuff.
You really do. It's radio, so it's theater of the mind. So you think, well, maybe Steve's just making it up.
But no,
you
no,
actually
put it
have
on right now.
A spread of makeup in front of you.
It's just the beginning.
Well, a spread
just.
Of makeup. There's two tubes.
No,
and they're both
like,
for the eyes.
Rouge.
Well, there's blush.
There's blush.
Yeah, and there's some. I wish I knew the other terms. It would make the joke work better.
Mascara.
Okay, mascara. I got that stuff too.
Foundation.
Foundation.
Yeah. What's the stuff for the eyelashes?
Mascara.
Eyeliner.
Eyeliner.
Well, don't say it like I should know.
Fake eyelashes?
Yeah. I'm putting on the Genucel now and standing by for Charles Lipson. The professor's going to be quite impressed, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never, I mean, look at you. You're just
I'm glowing. Don't you think?
You look 5 years younger.
His eyes really perk up after that.
Donald Trump yesterday, the good news is you're waking up this morning and a nuclear war hasn't started. We have potential in the Asian Peninsula. What in fact does it mean? Here's Trump. Listen. Yep, I thought we had it. Sorry, my fault. I think. Let's go to Professor Lipson then. Professor Lipson is standing by right now. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm still putting on my blush.
Well played by you, sir. All right, so here's the deal. You, as a professor of international politics at the University of Chicago and a writer for Real Clear Politics, you do the ZipDialogue.com blog and a regular guest on the download. You're a busy man. You got a lot going on. So your expectations going into this, did they match what we got coming out of it?
You know, as I went into it, I was reminded, actually, of a story that I'd once heard, not quite a joke because it was too grim. It was I think it was a comedian who was having a heart operation, and his wife asked him how long would it take, and he said, if it went well, it would take about 6 hours. If it didn't, it would take about 30 minutes.
Right. So the fact that we got 6 hours is positive.
That's exactly right. When you look at the statements and everything else, and you kind of move away the hype, they're still pretty vague. The key points seem to me to be that they have publicly, they meaning Kim Jong-un, have publicly committed themselves to complete denuclearization. Didn't see much about verification, but that's obviously going to be absolutely essential. This isn't even a trust but verify. This is a don't trust but verify. But it was smiles all over. And then on our side, I think to the surprise, actually, of the South Koreans and maybe the Japanese as well, I haven't seen their reaction yet, we are basically suspending joint military exercises, some of which President Trump, in the aftermath, called provocative. And you could understand why, because they have included what is euphemistically called decapitation exercises, meaning we would go in and take out the regime.
Professor, we've had a lot of conversations on WGN about this, but the idea that these two leaders come together, the North Korean leader, he wants a smaller U.S. military footprint. They want to denuclearize the peninsula, not just North Korea, but South Korea as well. They want to remove the U.S. forces. What is in it for the United States? Is it truly just to remove the threat of nuclear weapons against the West Coast or Chicago or other places that they've said in the past? Is that what that we're trying to do in exchange for a smaller military footprint?
Yes, basically. It's not a just, though, I would just say. You know, look, they have 40,000 plus conventional weapons that are already aimed at Seoul. They could do huge amounts of damage if there was a conflict. They already have nuclear weapons, and we don't know how they could deliver them, but in a short range attack on something like Seoul, you could get them there a lot of different ways. They've flown missiles over Japan, and their last missile went over 2,500 miles total flight. So they're on their way to being able to hit the West Coast, but they could already hit Japan. And it's a very dangerous situation. So it seems to me that the big risk, assuming that they actually, there are two big risks on the Korean side from our point of view. One is, do they take out everything? And the other is, does Kim Jong-un survive politically during the process? The worst thing that could happen in this for denuclearization, not only in Korea, but anywhere else, would be for there to be regime change or a coup in North Vietnam.
But all the things you just said, make it seem to me, as a United States citizen who's not particularly into what we have militarily designed in Asia, but it seems like we would want to have our military footprint there for the fact that the North Koreans have nuclear weapons.
Well, this is why this is great news. This is great news for China. This is great news for Russia, potentially. And what you just said, Professor, is crucial. Because we think about the impact on us, but inside North Korea, he has to protect his position to stay in power, and we don't know that that's assured at all. And they may have a similar reaction inside the power circle that's closest to Kim, that they're not so wild about what he agreed to, even though it doesn't appear that he agreed to anything to us.
No, I think he did agree to stuff. I do think it's really important that President Trump has said he's not taking off any of the economic pressure until we see things.
Right.
I mean, this is so different from the way that the Iranian joint agreement was exercised, in which we were giving them all kind of sweeteners up front, lots of cash, all kinds of things. This is saying basically, by the way, there is a real danger in all of this. If they don't live up to what they've committed, I just don't see any way that this is not a huge train wreck.
Well, the IAEA, this reminds me of the Saddam days, right? Because the IAEA had this job. They were supposed to be allowed to go into Iraq and see Saddam's weapon sites. And what would happen is Saddam would occasionally say no. And when he said no, there'd be this international back and forth.
Right.
Then he'd eventually move the weapon sites, or he'd get more work done. He'd say, whoops, sorry. Come on in, IAEA. They'd take another look. He'd throw them out again a second time a few months later. And the point being, each time he would gradually build up more of what he needed to build up. Well, he said he was disarming. Without full access, how do we know?
This is exactly right. And in the case of Saddam, although we remember how much we missed, we misunderstood what he had. Now, we had a reason for misunderstanding. We knew he had weapons of mass destruction earlier. He had never shown that he had destroyed them, and he seemed to be hiding things when people were inspecting. But it turned out he really didn't have them. He was hiding them mostly to stay in power and not to show Iran and others that he was weak. But we don't even know where the stuff in North Korea is hidden. So, or at least as far as I know, I don't have access to secret information, but my understanding from the intelligence community's leaks are that there's a lot of uncertainty about all their hidden sites, and they have perfected doing things underground. Yeah. My point is simply, it's going to be hard to find all the stuff, but if they mess around and start trying to play hide the ball, this could get very nasty. I'm not predicting that.
Professor,
I'm just saying you can't mess around with Trump on these deals, as Justin Trudeau just learned the hard way.
Professor, I want to ask just one last question just about you, politics. As I look at this deal and I think about how the Congress is going to react, how politicians in this country are going to react, it does feel that the hawks in the United States aren't going to like this deal for the fact that on the table right now is a smaller footprint in Asia. How do you look at it? Is this something that is going to be a smooth deal that is accepted by American politics?
My sense is that there are so few details in all of this right now that we simply don't know what the U.S. is committing itself to. However, I think if the U.S. Decides to substantially reduce its footprint in Asia, there will be a lot of pushback. If we say we're simply withdrawing a number of forces to Japan or to Australia or to the Philippines or someplace else, that's different. But remember, it's also largely a naval footprint in that area as well. There'll be a lot of debate, but the debate but I think that the main thing is this was a six-hour operation, not
right.
a 30-minute.
Right, right. And there has to be more. Professor, thank you. Professor, thank you very much. I'm going to send over some of my cosmetics for you.
Send it by the truckload.
Oh, stop. Thank you for your time. I know how busy you are, and I appreciate it. What's the where's the website for the blog again? It's Zip what?
ZipDialogue.com. I've been a little slow on it because I'm trying to complete a book, and I'm having fun with that.
Slacking.
Too.
All right. Well, when that's done, get in here and plug it as well. Thank you, Professor Lipson. Trump, as I mentioned a moment ago, here's the president.
You'll be seeing everything in just a little while. The letter that we're signing is very comprehensive, and I think both sides are going to be very impressed with the result. A lot of goodwill went into this, a lot of work, a lot of preparation. I want to thank everybody on both sides, Secretary Pompeo and all of his counterparts. They were absolutely fantastic.
Look, here's the bottom line. Because of what a terrible person he has been throughout his entire life, including since he's been elected, it's hard to root for him. But he is the president of the United States until he isn't, whether that's in 2020 or sometimes before or 2024. And he deserves support for this, regardless of the motive.
Well, I don't know. I agree with you, but I just politically, the issue which keeps being brought up by people who are supporting the president himself, is this is historic, and he's been able to get things done that other presidents have. Well, they've chosen not to have this meeting. They could go in
That's
at any moment and be like, hey, I'll have that meeting,
and
Kim Jong-un's ready to go. The idea is because of the human rights violations, because we don't deal and negotiate with terrorism, we're not going to negotiate because there's nuclear threats, we're not going to remove our military footprint. So it really is interesting. The devil is in the details about
and there are no details.
What President Trump actually negotiated to get this to
happen. Until we have details, we have no details.